The Eldritch Hour is a horror tabletop role-playing audio drama. It contains violent, mature, and sometimes disturbing themes. For a comprehensive list of content warnings for this episode, please see the show notes. Listener discretion is advised.
Betwixt the spaces we know, just beyond the fringe of human experience, old and strange things worm their way through the black matter of the universe, uncaring and unyielding. But there is a moment when the mucus-thin veil between our reality and theirs is worn and split. When the other reaches through the cosmic loam and touches an unlucky few. This moment is known as the Eldritch Hour.
You have left the scene, the grisly remains of this unknown hazmat worker in the beige Buick behind you, and have continued on in the fog. After some time, it's a little bit hard to tell unless you're checking your watch every so often.
I can't see it anyway.
Fair enough. Suddenly as you're stepping along, your foot feels a squish. And it doesn't feel like you've stepped in mud or something, like wet ground. Like you've stepped on something that is lying on the ground.
I look down. Withdraw my foot and look down.
There's a something there. It's dark and slick, but the moonlight is not enough to be able to tell what it is.
Right.
There's a lump of some kind there, and you can see just the faintest sheen off the top of it, and you know by the sound that it's wet. But anything else is pretty much impossible to discern in this light.
I'm going to take a step and a half back and take a knee and pull out the flashlight.
Yeah, you pull the flashlight out of your satchel, click it on, and there is a reddish, pink, pulpy, fleshy mass on the ground. It's not very big. Maybe the size of, like, a small bird.
Oh.
But it's indiscriminate. It literally just looks like chunks of meat. But not like muscle. It looks more a little bit slicker and more... Has a sheen and a smooth surface to it. And it is in a pool of blood, which you now notice carries on in a trail from this spot forward.
How big is it? In, like, circumference?
Or the mass or the trail?
The mass.
4-ish to 6-ish inches. It was like your boot basically almost fully encompassed it as you stepped on it. So you notice now that it's kind of like impressed down onto the gravel of the road.
Is there a stick?
Oh. Yeah. You look around. There's a couple like broken fallen branches and stuff. It's fall, so there's plenty of... I mean, the mountains are high. There's lots of wind up here. There's plenty of little twigs and things broken along the edges of the road there. With how thick the woods are, and be easy to find.
So, with that disgusting look on his face, I'm gonna grab a stick and like poke it and lift it, like frowning, like focuses. Just gonna inspect the thing.
You mess it around a little, poke it, move it, roll it. It looks. I mean, you've seen the insides of human bodies before.
Yes,
it looks like a portion of organ, perhaps. Maybe specifically which one is a little hard to tell.
All right, yeah, let's roll first aid. I can't discern if this human or non-human, right?
Yeah, it's pretty hard to tell. It's too small of a piece to really know. Okay. Yeah, it could very easily be, yeah, like maybe a piece of deer or something, but yeah, you don't know.
That was my first initial thought. Okay, but 13 though.
Damn.
130.
With a hard success, you recognize it as placenta.
Oh my god.
Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the mother filled with love, she is watching far above. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little tongues, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongues, what you say. Our mother lives inside, and she listens when you cry. So be careful, little tongues, what you say. What you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For as above, so below, mother of sighs, she will know. So be careful, little hands, what you do.
As I described, there is a blood trail that leads continuing onward into the darkness from this spot, following the road in the direction that you were already headed.
Shit. You know, man, wasn't supposed to find no problems out here on the road. I'm gonna start walking and talking to myself. We ain't even made it to town yet. Already? Alright. See what they got planned for me up here.
You, as you continue on, are you following the trail, I assume?
Following the road? Does a blood trail go off the road?
It follows the road on this inner edge where you found the placenta. Like basically you stepped on it. There's a trail that follows kind of the edge of the road. Not perfectly, but I mean pretty darn close to the path of the road.
Yeah, I'll follow the blood path. That sounds more interesting.
Okay. I mean, you're still kind of heading on in the same direction you were already going. It does curve around a bit. The trail like breaks every now and then for just a little bit, or like becomes like thinner, or becomes like a dribble, and then like picks back up. But there, something was dragged and lost quite a bit of blood. And this carries on for a couple of minutes. And as you're walking, you start to hear the faint sound of a baby crying ahead of you.
Yeah. Pick up my pace and head forward towards the beat.
The sound continues like to echo through the mist and gets a little bit louder, a little bit louder. And then, like, in your flashlight, as you're following the trail, you can see something. There's something small on the ground ahead of you that is visible in the light. And as the cone of your light kind of, like, encapsulates this, whatever this is on the ground ahead of you by about 20 feet, the crying stops.
All right, okay.
Are you approaching?
Okay.
Yeah. I still approach the.
Okay.
Baby.
The blood leads up, and it is in fact a baby, laying on the roadside, completely covered in blood, and small other chunks of fleshy substance hang around it. The umbilical cord kind of creating a small snake-like path towards you. You kind of like reach that first and then walk up to the baby, and it's very small. It looks like it was freshly born.
Oh. What the fuck? I mean, hey there, little man. I'm gonna take a knee and take my coat off and like wrap the coat in, or the baby in the coat, and like pick it up.
Okay. You bend down, take your coat off, you start to swaddle it, and as you do, you recognize the child.
What?
It's your child. It turns its head suddenly. You realize it is alive. And eyes don't open, but it says, "Hey, friend."
What the fuck?
You lost?
I drop it.
You drop your coat, and as the coat drops, you realize there's nothing in it. And then you hear, "Hey,
what the fuck?
You lost? You all right there, pal?" And there's a voice right alongside you. And you realize you now hear the hum of a pickup truck. And there's a man parked in the road in a brown pickup. On the side of the truck reads Mount Hush National Park and Forest Service in a yellow logo. And there's a jowly man with like thinning black hair, slicked back, like leaned over his window, like one arm out, looking at you. And he kind of like glances down and sees you've dropped your coat, and you're just standing there on the road, and there's nothing. There's no blood. There's no trail. There's no baby. It's just you having dropped your coat. It's still dark out, still foggy. He's like, everything else is the same.
So I want to make a roll to compose myself. Because I can see this going a couple ways, right? Where I just freak the fuck out, or like my brain and internal willpower manages the situation, right?
Well, you'll definitely need to make a sanity roll for me, so this can partake in part of that for sure.
I was wondering if I can make a power roll.
Yeah, let's have a sand roll first, just to see if this like shatters you at all, like internally, and then yeah, we can do a power roll to see how well you compose after the fact.
53, so we're good there.
Okay, yeah, you lose nothing, but nonetheless, I don't know how Gage is rationalizing what he's just experienced.
Yeah, me
but let's have we can have a power roll if you really want to do that to see if you.
Do you think anything else I could roll in place of for better or for worse? My power is an 80 as well, so that's the easy way out.
Maybe
like a psychology, or I know that's used kind of against other people.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I think power would be the best thing here. I mean, sanity really kind of encompasses one's reactions to strange events, anyways. But power would be the best way that you can like. if you can pull off like really composing yourself, I guess, at the moment. Yeah,
and I'm looking for like a direction to how I take the character from this. So a dice roll would help.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to roll power, which is an 80. And we got a 46.
Oh, nice. Almost a hard success.
Hey, man.
Hi there. You all right? You look a little startled.
I thought I heard something. That's all.
What are you doing out here? It's the middle of the night. We don't usually have folks wandering in the mountain roads by themselves. You hitching somewhere?
Yeah, man. I was a couple miles back. The guy wasn't gonna be able to make it up here. It's kind of out of his way. He said, "I told him I didn't have a problem taking a walk." You mind taking me up the rest of the way, though?
No, not at all. He kind of like looks around again, peers, you know, out of the window behind the two of you down the road. Not much being visible, considering how foggy it is. And, you know, gives you another up and down, and he says, yeah, hop in.
Appreciate you. Pick up my coat and probably flashlight that I dropped, too. And I'm going to get in.
You have just kind of reviewed this old rickety sign that's kind of overgrown in the entranceway to this dirt path that leads into the woods here. It reads Penitent Isle. Can you give me a spot hidden as you continue to survey this entrance area a bit? Assessing where you are?
Sure can. You get a 21 on 55.
Oh, excellent. All right. As you look kind of around assessing things, you notice there's some strings hanging across the branches above you, like across the entrance to this pathway. There's 5-10 somewhere in there, ropes all kind of like draped. And from them, you can tell there's something hanging. It's these small little things. And with your hard success, as you lift the lantern and kind of strain your eyes in the darkness, just kind of past where the fog like really dissipates, you can make them out. They seem to be dried earthworms that have been hooked, like fish hooked, and then hung from this network of ropes across the top of the path.
The fog? Roy's turning around. No, she doesn't want to fuck with anything that's happening in the dark in this forest with these weird dried out earthworms.
Okay, sure. You turn around and head back to the... are you going to the bridge?
Yeah, I'm literally like doubling back to like... I think this is the moment where it dawns on Rory that maybe going to the right was the wrong move. So we're going back.
Sure. Yeah, then you turn around, head back across the bridge. Are you walking with the same caution?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I think I don't think Rory's spooked by anything yet. Off put for sure, but not spooked. I think it's just like, you know, again, like the reason, like, I'm currently just looking for immediate help because of the bus crash, and I could have potential injuries that I cannot see in myself. And the likelihood of there being help in this densely packed forest that has a weird earthworm archway, slim to none.
Then you head back across the bridge, still at a slow pace. And as I described before, it takes you what feels like a solid, like 3 to 5 minutes to get across this bridge in the dark. And you do eventually make it to the other side and find this, the what turns into a road again, and make your way back.
I have more light now because of my lantern.
You do have more light. You can see a little bit better. Obviously not great, as it is still quite thick with fog, but you can make out now that it is like a proper paved road. It is pretty standard width. It doesn't have any like traffic lines or anything on it. And it on either side is just tall grass, getting to about your waist height. You can still hear water, but you can't see it. You follow the road back about half the journey back, which you, as best you can tell, based on the lack of distinct visuals in your memory, you start to hear something ahead of you that sounds like maybe singing. It's soft. It's very light. Do you want to give me a listen roll to see if you can discern any better?
A 55 on 20.
Okay. Yeah, it's indistinct at this where you are now, but it, again, it is pretty soft. It sounds like it's pretty far ahead of you. You notice as you, so you're like, you continue to follow the road, and it winds just a little, but this doesn't deviate as much as the mountain roads did. And eventually, though, you like realize the sound is getting closer, and then it starts to like move alongside you, still at a distance, as you walk along the road. So you realize you might be passing whatever it is.
Okay. I guess, can I discern what direction it's like?
Yeah, it's off to your right hand side.
Yeah, then I guess I'm like going into like following that noise, not necessarily going straight, just like finding the source of that noise.
Sure. You realize you're gonna have to step off the road a bit.
Yeah,
but it is clearer where you are now.
Yeah,
you can definitely hear that it sounds like someone singing.
Sure.
And just the words aren't exactly easy to make out, but it does sound like a female, and okay, it sounds maybe fairly young.
Oh boy. I keep following.
Okay. You step through the grass, and like I said, it's only about waist height, so you know you can still see ahead of you. And after about 30 to 40 feet, you can make out the words, and you hear,
"Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the mother filled with love, she is watching far above. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little tongues, what you say. Oh, be careful, little tongues, what you say. Our mother lives deep inside, and she listens when you cry."
She stops as she hears you rustling through the grass. You realize that she's clocked you, whoever this person is. You can make out a little bit of light ahead of you, lower, like in the grass, at about 10 to 15 feet out.
Okay. Hello?
There's silence.
Is someone there?
you hear the grass rustle a little and the light like moves up and starts to come towards you a little bit. Then just ahead in the glow of your lantern mixed with the light that's coming towards you, you can make out the visage of a 14 to 16 year old girl in a yellow dress, like a dirtied yellow dress with like maybe a floral pattern, standing just in the haze, just to the edge of the haze, long, like greasy, stringy red hair. And she's looking out at you with a look of kind of concern on her face, but it meets your gaze.
Hi, I'm Rory.
She kind of like barely picks up the lantern a little and like moves it just like inches towards you and like kind of looks and then bites a finger with her other hand and continues to like quizzically observe you.
So sorry. I was in a car accident outside of town and I'm just looking for help. Do you live here?
She kind of turns her head to the side and takes one step forward. Doesn't say anything.
Do you often come out really late at night to sing songs in Tallgrass?
I'm looking for mommy.
Are you lost?
Doesn't say anything. Turns her head to both sides and kind of like looks across the grass, like in either direction.
Well, I'm looking for help, so maybe we can look for your mommy together.
You hear a faint voice far off call out. A male voice. And then she bolts like her head in that direction. Mm-hmm. It's off to the direction you came from.
Mm.
And you hear her like let out like a small concerned like moan, like and then she darts through the grass in the opposite direction and runs away.
In the opposite direction where the voice came from?
Correct. Yeah, so in the direction you were originally headed.
I follow her.
Can you give me a constitution roll?
79 on 60.
Ooh.
You start to chase after. She's fast. It's dark. It's hazy. You immediately lose sight of her. You can still make a little bit of her light as it like sways side to side through the grass. The moment you've exerted yourself, your head starts to spin a little.
Ooh,
and you realize you know it's not been that long since you hit your head.
That's
on the
true.
Side of
I literally was just in a bus accident.
You don't fall over or pass out, but you like the wooziness hits you and the world starts to spin a little, and you know, maybe continue for a few steps and you realize like you can continue doing this, yeah. But there's going to be a cost and you're not sure how fast you'll be able to be, but you can continue to follow her if you like. This is just mostly a moment of awareness for you.
Yeah, no, I think with Rory, the minute like her body pushes back on her, I think it's like I think she remembers in that moment that she was in a bus crash, and that once again there might be injuries that she doesn't know about, and she realizes that she's being stupid, and that's not Rory's MO in any way, shape, or form. So I think she slowed down and like just like sort of stops, I guess, in the sense just kind of lets the girl go.
Okay.
Can I, if I turn around, can I see anything from where, like, I had come from?
You again, visibility is not great, so you can see you're in the middle of this waist-high grass.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell as you turn around. So now on the road would be on your right at this point. It was originally on your left as you met her, you know, and were running after her. To your now left, you can tell you're closer to water because you can hear it lapping a little bit. Ahead of you, you have about 20 to 30 feet of like good visibility with the lantern. After that, it becomes just haze and darkness. But you can hear the voice calling out, and it sounds not harsh, but like there's a concern in the voice, and you can hear it's just a single word that's being called out, but you can't really make that what that is. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I go to that voice.
You continue on that a little bit in that direction. The voice gets louder. You can hear the voice coming from an adult male yelling, "Claire, Claire."
I think I like make myself known to this person. Like, excuse me, hello.
Who's that? Who's out there?
My name is Rory. I was in a bus accident outside of town, and I'm just looking for help. There was a little girl here, but she ran away.
A flashlight comes into view as you're talking.
I just need help, please. There's a dead man in the woods.
Yeah, as this figure approaches in the light, you can tell he's a man in his mid-50s. He has slicked back, like, gray hair that kind of is a little longer, and it curls out just a bit past the underside of his ears. And got a kind of a squarish face and beady eyes and a sharp nose. He's got an average build, maybe a little bit of weight on him, but his shoulders are broad and look like his upper body is actually like pretty toned. But he's wearing a suit coat vest and a white button up shirt and gray trousers. And says, "I'm sorry, did you say a dead man in the woods? My goodness."
Yeah, the guy who was driving the bus.
You're now like fully in his flashlight as he's like now standing maybe about 10 feet away, and he lowers it a bit, but you can see he kind of gives you like a full up and down look, and he says, "My goodness, what are you doing out here?"
"Again, I was in a bus crash, and I've just been looking for help."
"Oh, my poor thing. We should definitely get you inside and get you fixed up." And he's like, you can tell he's looking at your face, like where the glass is kind of embedded and stuff.
Yeah.
"Bus crash. At this hour, you know, bus coming in. Are there others?"
"There was one lady on the bus, but she wasn't there when I woke up. So I don't know what happened to her."
"Well, we'll have to have local authorities look for her."
Yeah.
"Is there no one else that we need to worry about?"
"Not that I'm aware of."
Well then, he takes a couple of very gingerly, like ginger steps towards you. And he holds his other hand out ahead of him. He says, "Do you want to come with me? My chapel is just back there. Or do you prefer I take you somewhere? I'm happy to take you to police or the hospital."
A hospital would be lovely. I don't think I'm horribly injured, but I would prefer to ensure that there is no actual problem that I'm just ignoring from the, you know, adrenaline.
"Certainly, no, that's, yeah, Quite all right. We'll happy to take you to Mercy Vale. It's just back up that way in town. Do you want to walk it, or otherwise my vehicle, I'm afraid, is back at the chapel. I'll have to go back that way.
Walking is fine.
All right, then. Maybe you can tell me how you came to be here. And he starts to, like, approach you a little bit closer and then passes you and says, the road's back up this way, and heads towards the road.
Yeah, I follow.
You're standing at this fork in the road. Right ahead of you is this park, and you've noticed the sign that's attached to this merry-go-round that says, do you know where your children are? The snow that you were experiencing, the cold, has all dissipated, and you now stand still in a chill air, but much more comfortable than what you were previously experiencing. And Ramsey gets out of the car. You hear the door open, and then he stands up and, like, it's kind of like looking at you across the top of the car, and has the map in his hand. He said, hey, I'm sorry, Mr. Riddle, are you okay? What is going on?
Oh,
why'd you get out of the car?
Ten please, Harry. I'm not sure. I thought it's... Are we far?
No, actually, it looks like the summit is just up the street here, to the left. It is a little ways, but it's one of the earlier buildings in town, so we won't have to go too far. It looks like there's an observation deck actually up the road here a piece, before we reach town proper. We could maybe if you need a proper break, we could stop there.
Please, let's head straight there. Thank you.
I get in the car.
Of course. Yeah.
Kind of avoiding eye contact a little bit, maybe?
Sure, yeah. You notice he stays standing outside a little bit. You can obviously only see his, like, chest down. And you see him, like, turn around a couple of times, like he's just observing the surroundings. And he gets back in and closes the door. Temperature's fine in the car. Actually, a little too warm. are you still feeling so cold? I hate to be a bother, but can I please turn this down a little?
No. Please, be comfortable. I must have been a weird spell.
Oh, okay. Are you sure you're all right? You look just a little pale.
I feel it, but I think I'm all right. Thank you.
Of course. Did you happen to see this orchard? It's prime harvest season. I wonder if they have a good bit of apple cider. Might do us some good, you know?
Is it harvest season?
It's October, so...
Okay.
It is.
I forgot what month it was.
Yeah, you're in the middle of October. And so there it would be certainly time to be, you know, having like apple cider and that donuts and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, perhaps. Perhaps that would be good.
Maybe they'll have some at the hotel, or at least know where we can go to get some.
Hey. Thank you.
Oh, no trouble at all. He turns the wheel and gets the car off to the left-hand road and continues on. You drive a ways, and as I said, you could see like that little finger of land go out into the lake, and you could see a light in the distance, kind of like intermittently showing.
Yeah.
And but then any other kind of like details kind of veered off, because as you follow this road, it then starts to wind a bit and go uphill. And then the orchard is cut off by more thick woods to the left hand side. And you and that continues to follow along the road for a few minutes. And to your left, like now kind of out and down, you can see the lake and a little bit better, a little clearer above, since you're above the fog layer. And you can see the top of a lighthouse poking up through the fog, right where you were seeing the light before.
Like a proper lighthouse.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, like a looks to be. I mean, it's very hard at this distance. It is a ways out on the water. This lake is very big. As the you can see the mountain. More of the mountain and woods far in the distance on the far shore. The lake is very sizable. And the lighthouse looks to be like in basically in between, like perfect center, from where you are to opposite shore. But as you kind of like round a corner, you can see that there's much more lake to the left of that, like ahead and out and across. So, and then you drive past this, what Ramsey noted was an observation deck rest area. There's just like a little, it looks like a small brick bathroom, like building, and then like a little two row parking lot with a wall that you could stand at and kind of just view the lake and like the countryside and everything. Past that, everything goes downhill. Just as you start to like descend, you can see also poking through the fog bed much closer now to your right hand side, just past the observation deck area, the top of a bell tower. And you can see like an old, like large looking iron bell. And then you kind of like break back into the fog bed a bit and everything's a little more obscured. You drive past a welcome center and a gas station. And the woods are much thinner here. It looks more like what you would find in like small town trees and foliage between buildings. Not so much the really thick wooded, you know, wilderness area. And then eventually you cross a small or go by a left-hand turnoff, and on your right is a grocery store. And then you drive past a little building called Ollie Otter's, which is kind of a, looks to be maybe a McDonald's type establishment. And you go another block or so, and Randy says, I think this is the turnoff here, and takes a right towards the lake. You pass a little coffee shop called the Coffin Bean, and then immediately turn right again just past that, as the road doesn't have an intersection, but just curves to the right, goes basically perfectly back parallel with the road you were on. And you can see ahead of you in the fog starts to become clear, a large hotel, 3-story building. And on the front has a big lit up sign that says Summit Hotel. And Ramsey pulls up to the front of the building and parks.
Yeah, I make sure everything I have that I pulled out during the trip is packed back away and gather those parts of my supplies and step out.
Okay. Yeah, he gets out with you and says, I'll help you with your baggage. And we can ask them about that cider. Do you need me to stay or take you about town or anything? Your order was obviously a to and return trip, but I wasn't sure if there was any services needed while I was still here.
You are far too kind to ask. I'm not really sure. They're not having you stay here the whole time, are they?
Oh, no. No. As fun as that might be for me, to have a vacation with the great Harkness Riddle. No, I unfortunately will have other fares to deal with in the interim, but I always like to offer at least one additional stop or so before I leave if the fare takes me out of town or anything like that. Since you've had to take a transportation service here, I assume you don't have one currently to get you anywhere else. So I always like to go the extra mile.
It's very kind of you. I perhaps just allow me to get you some of that cider.
I appreciate that. And he rounds the back of the vehicle, opens the trunk, and gets your luggage and follows you in.
Yeah.
You enter, and it's an old stone building. It's kind of rust colored on the outside. Like I said, three stories. It's got like a rather ornate, almost like Gothic architecture look to it, with some very intricate carving work. As you came to it, it is positioned so that the front face actually faces the lake. You kind of had to do a round drive once you got to the building itself. The back was facing you as you approached it. So the front faces the lake. And you walk in, and there is a rather lovely looking lobby. It's got nice, very crisp, clean burgundy carpeting with like a kind of a paisley pattern, but not so gaudy as what you might think of when you think of paisley. And brown dark wood walls and furniture with like plush leather seating. And there's a large desk facing the front doors as you enter, and there's a young woman in her 30s sitting there. Looks like she's writing in like a ledger book or something. She looks up and smiles at you.
Yeah, I approach the desk, counter, whatever it is.
Hi, how can I help you today?
I have a reservation for the weekend.
Oh, excellent. Perfect. What's the name?
Harkness Riddle.
She smiles and looks down and pulls another book from somewhere underneath the front counter of the desk and starts to flip through. And you can see her run her finger down a list and she's, oh, yes. Perfect. Till Monday.
Hi.
Well, let me get you your keys. If you would sign here, please. And she pulls out the first book that she was writing in and puts it on the table and flips it open. And it's just a sign-in ledger.
Yep, I sign it.
Okay. She comes back with your room key. You have room 606.
Thank you. We saw the orchard on the way in.
Do you know yes.
If they have cider, and where to get it?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. This is one of our largest exports. It's our apple cider. It's wonderful. You can certainly go to the orchard yourself if you want to get it from the source, but they do have a partnership with the cafe just down the street at the Coffin Bean. The girls there are wonderful people, and they make quite a cup of our local cider.
All right. I'll do that. Thank you.
Oh, no trouble at all. Do you need help with any luggage? And Ramsey kind of pipes up and no, ma'am, I've got it.
Yes. We'll be all right. Thank you.
Very good. Well, enjoy your stay at Husher's Peak.
Thank you. I will.
If you need any information, there's pamphlets over there. And then you see like a little, one of those little metal turnstiles that just has like local attractions and things like that on it. Sightseeing stuff. And she passes you your keys, which are actual keys. It's not a key card. Yeah, just continues to smile at you as you decide where you're going.
Yeah, I'm going to head to what appears to be the way to go to get, I assume, upstairs or...
Yeah, you notice off to your left, there is a couple options. There is a obvious staircase. And then just past that, there is a elevator.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the elevator.
Okay. Ramsey follows you then. There are some paintings you pass along the way. There is a portrait of a rather dapper looking gentleman. The portrait looks hand painted and is most likely from the 1800s by the clothing.
Hmm.
And the name underneath it in the gold plaque says Warren Temple.
Do I know that name?
It would be high. I need a critical success for you to know who that is.
All right, I'll roll
but
it.
You're absolutely welcome to roll intelligence. Yeah.
Is it? Oh, it's an idea roll, not a no roll.
No. Well, I guess. Yeah, I guess it would be education. Yeah, it would be a no roll. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's a very good roll. Let's see. It's a 26 on 70. So it's just a hard success. And I'm okay. Not about to spend a lot to make it an extreme.
And it's and not I would, critical. Like I said, I would need a, you'd need a one to truly know. With a hard, the name, you've probably read the name somewhere. Where is lost in the annals of your mind. Yeah.
Can I make an appraise roll? You said hand painted.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a 57 on 50. It's a fail.
Okay. It looks, I mean,
it's really nice.
It looks hand painted. Looks nice. Whether or not it is authentically from the period that the person, his picture would be from is up to debate.
Okay. All right. Carry on.
Pass another couple of portraits along the way as well. I don't know if you're stopping to look at all of them. That's just the first one that's kind of like on the wall as you like round the corner to the elevator. But there are a couple more along the way. If this catches your fancy, you're welcome to observe.
Yeah, I think I'll just sort of generally glance. And if something like deeply attracts the eye, I'll look further at it.
Okay, sure. There is another portrait of a young woman who is, she looks maybe Slavic, dark hair, light skin, very prominent features, like high cheekbones, in a like a dark red Victorian looking dress. And there's a little plaque under there that reads Winona Senka. S-E-N-K-A.
Okay. Carry on.
This also looks painted in the same period and looks like it was maybe an original. Yeah.
Hmm.
And then there's another one of a looks to be a Puritan. Like this is a much rougher painting. Looks to be of a Puritan like religious figurehead with a plaque that reads Alistair Mathers.
Okay. Yeah, I won't crazily inspect those necessarily.
Okay. And then you reach the elevator and press the button.
Hell yeah.
Doesn't take long. Opens right up. It's nice, like, golden interior. Carpeted floor. You step in, close it. You have L for lobby. 2 and 3 are your buttons.
What do you think, Ramsey? 2 or 3?
What was your room number?
606. Doesn't it make any sense, does it?
No, I can't say it does. Maybe a matter of division. And he then looks again at 2 and 3, and he...
Matter of this division? They both divide into 6.
Yeah, and he's like realizing what he said, and he was looking. Dealer's choice, I suppose, Miss Riddle. It's your vacation.
3 it is, then.
He presses the 3.
You know what they say about things that come in 3s, right?
They're bad, usually.
Oh. Perhaps that's good in my line of work.